Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Games Studio, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. Joining us now is Elliot Friedman of TSN and the 32 Thoughts podcast. Elliot, I mean, a lot has changed since the last time that we chatted. The Predators traded away Nino Niederreiter, Tanner Jeannot for an absolute haul, Mikael Granlund last night, Matthias Ekholm earlier this week. I mean, Dylan David Poile has been dealing so far this week. So just kind of your thoughts on the Predators move that moves this entire week. And also, David Poile deciding to retire, Barry Trotz being named the new general manager. Whole lot's changed around here.
You know, I wish that I could have told you, Caroline, at all, like even one third of this was going to happen last week. And it was wild. It was an absolutely crazy weekend. I think there were definitely some feelings that there were going to be changes in terms of players. And I don't think anybody was surprised about that. But just the overall tone of the organization and the kinds of things that happened, I have to admit, I was blown away. And, you know, I've got to say this. I think that one of the things that's happened here is that obviously this had been discussed for a little bit of time. Like, these kinds of things don't just happen out of nowhere and in a vacuum. But secondly, the one thing that David Poile has done here is he has cleared the decks for Barry Trotz to shape the Predators as he sees fit. He's cleared up a lot of some of the cap situations. He's added some draft picks. There's some flexibility here now. I think the most interesting thing that's going to happen here is what is the Predators' path? Like, when this season is over, what do they think about where they want to go? Is it a teardown? Is it a slight rebuild, retool? Like, where do we go from here? And I think we're kind of all wondering about that as things progress, because this was a wild weekend. We're all still trying to come to grips with it.
Elliot Friedman is with us with Sportsnet. Elliot, this is no disrespect whatsoever to Mikael Granlund, but what in the world is the Pittsburgh Penguins plan?
I think we're all trying. It's tough to hear no disrespect to someone with the rest of that question.
I know.
You know, I don't know yet. I think that the one thing I always say is that this time of year, I want to wait till it's over. I think oftentimes in this day and age, we want to react about something like 2 minutes after it happens or 10 minutes after it happens. I'm really careful at the trade deadline. I wait until the deadline clears. Because one thing I've learned over the years is that sometimes some of these things don't happen in a vacuum. It's not just about one move. It's about more than one move or something else coming along. So I want to see what it looks like when it's over, and then I'll make my decision. I'm not surprised that Pittsburgh would go for a player with term. I'm not surprised about that at all. I was surprised that Nashville wasn't put in a position where it had to retain. Like, you know, one thing about David Poile is that he's a grinder. And he's really grinded. If this is the way he's going out really true to form, because, you know, that's a heck of a deal for the Predators. And I was surprised there was no retention, but I will reserve judgment until I see what Pittsburgh looks like after the deadline.
We'll talk with Elliot Friedman. Now, Elliot, a two-part question here. One, how did they manage? How do you think they managed to keep, especially in this era of sports where nothing is kept a secret, no matter how much you try to keep it a secret, it gets out. But to have David Poile keep this so in wraps that no one found out until it actually happened. And then have you ever seen a situation like this where a GM that is going out the door and passing the baton to the next GM, that he basically clears the deck for the next GM to make it his team?
Off the top of my head, Derek, I can't think of a situation where he cleared the deck like this, but I'm sure it's happened. I'd have to think about it. I can't imagine that this is the first time. But, like, the thing is, like, you know, like, Poyle's a smart guy. You know, he's a really smart guy. And I think that once they knew that this team, the one thing about him is, and he's shown this in his time in Nashville, is he is fearless. And we have talked about this before. Like, just some of the sheer trades he's made for just the massive nature of them, he's not afraid to put himself out there. And I would guess that once he realized and the organization realized that this was not going to be the year, he's not going to be afraid to be aggressive in this is what we need to do. And so I'm betting that's exactly what happened. That once the decision was made and once they knew Trotz was coming in, the two of them sat down with ownership and said, this is what the plan is going to be. And ownership would approve it. And because Poyle is aggressive, Derek, he's a guy who can do that. As for the secrecy of it, I am a little surprised it was kept as quiet as long as it was. I think that what happened is at some point in time, whether, people start to be told, like you can keep a decision in a small circle. And I think they did. But eventually the circle widens. More people hear, like on Sunday morning in Arizona, they played there, and I think they informed the players. Mm-hmm. And the players are in shock, and they're like, did you hear this? And that's how I think it eventually got out, was that I just think eventually they had to widen the circle. I think the other thing, too, that happened was, you know, Barry Trotz, people were wondering, was he going to coach again? And the rumor started going from, yeah, he's going to coach next year. He might coach until later in the season. And then people started saying, you know what, I don't think Barry Trotz going to coach again. And people were like, why? You know, he's a hell of a coach. And so I think between all of those factors, eventually you can't keep the circle as tight as you would like to.
Talking to Elliot Friedman, and Elliot, greetings from Florida. As we continue to take all this in, it's been really interesting to watch how the team tries to roll with all of these things that happen, and they've happened so fast. But is it safe to say that it's got to be considered a seller's market, doesn't it? Just a few weeks ago, I just don't think I could have comprehended the return for some of these guys that were out there on the trade block.
I think it's actually a bit more of a buyer's market, to be perfectly honest. But I think if you have a good piece, you can make it work. Like, we've seen a lot of first round picks get traded. If you have a good piece, you can always make it work. I think some of these, I think one thing you're going to see, Willie, is when it's over, there's going to be some teams with players that they wanted to trade that they didn't trade. I think, again, and I would credit David Poyle for this, I think he recognized that and he was like, we are in and we have a target. And I don't think this was a situation where David Poyle was saying, I'm really here. Like, if I get close to what I want, I'm going to negotiate a little bit more. Like, I do think that happens at this time of year. People play poker and they're like, oh, I think I've got the best hand, but I think I can squeeze a little bit more out of that guy or squeeze a little bit more out of that guy. I think that's what Arizona was doing. But I think David Poyle got into the card game and he said, these are my targets. And if I get close, we're not screwing around. We're getting these deals done. And because the thing is, all of a sudden on Saturday, and then the Saturday the Niederreiter news breaks, Sunday the Poyle news breaks, and then Ekholm gets dealt. And, you know, people are calling the Predators like crazy. These deals get done pretty quick. And David Poyle's in there and he's like saying, I'm not here to haggle. Here's my price. Here's what I'm willing to do. And if you're going to do this, we can make a move. And I think that's kind of what happens, Willie, is that you can sense you have a motivated general manager, somebody who's motivated to do some work. And is there a little bit of haggling? Yes, but he has a bar. And when he gets to that bar, he's making the deal. He's not haggling any further.
So I know that you've put out there, and I think it's with the acquisition of Cal Foot, you can see a possibility that Dante Fabro is still out there.
Yeah.
Do you see anything else? I know yesterday wasn't quite as crazy as what we saw maybe Saturday and Sunday around the league, but like what do you think is the next step, and how do the Predators figure into that?
Well, I think the Kings, before they made the deal for Korpisalo the other night, I think they called you guys on Saros, but I don't think that went very far. I don't think that's something that you guys are really that eager to do. I think people know that Yossi's not going anywhere and Forsberg's not going anywhere, and I don't think Saros is going anywhere. Like someone said to me, if you see that guy get traded, you're going to look at the deal and you're going to say, holy smokes. So I don't think he's going anywhere either. But, I think one of the biggest challenges right now, Willie, is that a lot of the players that we thought were going to get traded, they've already been traded. So now we're trying to figure out, what's next. I think this, people know the Predators are open for business. If there's someone they like on that team, just call and they'll tell you what they're thinking. So I think the way that, I mean, you've traded a lot of really good pieces already, aside from Fabro or maybe a McDonough who has a no trade clause. I think everybody knows, I don't know what would be at the top end still remaining necessarily, but everybody knows if they see someone on Nashville they like, call the Predators because they're willing to listen, except for on three guys, really.
What about Kevin Lankinen? He's going to get the start tonight. And
yep.
I wonder about him signing a one-year deal, and I think it was pretty much made clear to him that, look, he I think he came in with the goal. I'm going to back up for a year. It's a one-year deal, but he would like to be a starter again someday in the league. So But I heard your podcast earlier this week. You say the market isn't necessarily great for goalies right now.
It isn't. Like, if you take a look at it, the teams who needed goalies were the Kings. They've made their move. The Golden Knights, because of injuries, now they've made their move with Quick. So I'm just wondering who else needs a goalie. Like, that's the one thing I'm looking at right now is who else is going to be in the market for a goalie at this time. And I don't know. I never say never, but if there's someone that's that obvious, I'm not seeing it right now.
What do you know about Reed Schaefer? The Predators are getting all these draft picks, and that's great, and we'll see what they do with them. But there's not a whole lot of guys that are actually people. In fact, Tyson Barry is another one I want to get your thoughts on. But first, what do you know about Reed Schaefer, a guy who was a first-round pick, is having a good year in Seattle? But what's the word on him as you project?
Well, I think that – I'll tell you one thing. I know that when Chicago was talking to Edmonton and earlier this year about some of the moves that they were talking about, like Jake McCabe and Lafferty and those guys, they asked for Reed Schaefer, and Edmonton turned him down. So this was a player that Edmonton was not easily willing to give up. I think that's a really good sign for you guys, is that this is not a prospect that the Oilers were saying, take him from us, we don't like him. I think they turned down at least one trade for him already. The best thing I can tell you about him is that sometimes when kids are big, they don't skate as well. He doesn't have that problem. And I remember when he was drafted last year, the word on him was late bloomer. And people told me, if you're patient with him, he will reward you. So I think, anytime you have a guy who's big and can skate and has a good reputation for being unafraid to play in hard games, and that team is a good team, they're going to play in a lot of big games, you have something. I don't know if he's going to be like a superstar or anything like that, but I think he's going to be a good player for a very long time. And the word I got was, if you're patient with him, he will reward you. Now, as for Tyson Berry, I'm going to tell you guys that from a media point of view, you guys are going to love him. He is one of the best. Like, everywhere he's gone, Colorado, Toronto, Edmonton, he has been one of the most popular players on the team. He's a really nice guy. He's a really funny guy. And I don't think, like, I'll tell you, like, a couple weeks ago when Edmonton was taking its shot at Erik Karlsson, there was a player there who told me that they would be concerned if Barry would go in that deal, just because he had become one of the inner circle. He, like, in each team, there's sort of like the leadership group or leadership council, whatever you want to call it. And in Edmonton, he had become a big part of theirs, along with the likes of McDavid, Dreisaitl, Darnell Nurse, and Zach Hyman. He, you know, Barry was a big part of that. And I think while Edmonton was really excited to get Ekholm for all the reasons you know, I know that personally as a team, those players were really sore to see Barry go. He's a tremendous offensive player. You know, I mean, you guys have Josi, so I don't know how much he's needed to run a power play, but he's a really skilled offensive player. And just as a person, he's as good as it gets. So, you know, you guys, from a media point of view, you'll really love him. I'm sure this isn't easy on him, but he's a heck of a person.
Elliot Friedman is with us. Elliot, last one for you. The Predators now have 13 picks in this year's draft, the most that they've had in 20 years. I know about one certain name in this year's draft I've heard a whole lot about, but the rest of the draft, what is your take on the depth in this year's draft?
Well, I don't get a chance to watch a lot of the prospects, but I will tell you this, the people who watch them a lot more than I do say that this is a very, very strong draft. If you're going to have a lot of picks, this is the one to have it in. And even though there's the guy at the top, Bedard, I think there's a few more real talented players, like difference makers, nobody on his level, but other guys that are very, very good. And there's a lot of talent in this year's draft. So especially high, and you guys are going to have a pretty high pick, you're going to get a good player there and probably more than one.
Elliot Friedman, Sportsnet, the 32 Thoughts Podcast. Appreciate you for hanging out with us. We'll chat with you next week.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend. And I wonder if it'll be a little quieter for the Predators this time.
I don't know. I thought surely we're slowing down at some point, but that has not been the case. Oh, I hope we'll sleep tonight. Well, I appreciate you, Elliot. We'll chat with you next week. We'll get into what Elliot had to say coming up next. Again, another big move for the Predators last night. What does that mean for this team moving forward? All of that coming up next. Caroline Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Caroline Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game and The Game Nashville app. Good to have Willie D join the program, joining us from sunny Florida. Ahead of the Preds matchup with the Florida Panthers tonight. Early puck drop 6 o'clock tonight. But the big news, David Poile adds another one to the list of players traded. Mikhail Granlin traded last night to the Pittsburgh Penguins for a 2023 second. I was looking at The Athletic. They always do whenever there's trades, a trade grade. Predators, A-plus across the board. Mm. Pittsburgh Penguins, F-minus across the board. So a good trade for the Nashville Predators. Of course, always tough losing a core player, Mikhail Granlund, but undoubtedly a player that has been below expectations this year, is expensive, is only getting older, and they turn it into a second round pick in this year's draft.
Yeah, well, they get to play him pretty soon. When is it? Granlund, Pittsburgh. When do they play him?
Yeah, there is a trip to Pittsburgh down the road. It's not on this road trip.
But it's pretty soon.
I cannot
here,
look
right?
past this road trip. This road trip, and I'm almost counting our stop back in Nashville mm-hmm. for the game against Pittsburgh the other day at home as part of it. Like, if you start with our journey out to San Jose and then to Arizona, then back home, now back to Florida, think about the miles. All right, we went out west. Now we're all the way in the tip of Florida in the south, going up to Chicago tomorrow. Then out to Vancouver, back out west.
It's a lot of traveling.
It's over 15,000 miles over the course of about 2 weeks, and you've got all these crazy things happening with the team. So this is quite the journey that we're on here. But you guys said it. I think this is one where everybody looked And as soon as you saw that Granlund was going to Pittsburgh, the first question everybody was asking, okay, did they get anything in return? Was Nashville going to have to retain salary? Or, you know, what were the details? But straight up for a second-round pick, Mikhail Granlund, $5 million per year for the next 2 years after this one to get that off of the books was a big, big benefit. And that is nothing against Mikhail Granlund personally. This is the tough thing about these trades. I think everybody is looking at the trades and going, okay, solid return for each one. But you're losing four really great locker room guys, great team guys, Granlund, Niederreiter, Janot, and of course, Ekholm. I mean, those guys are the bedrock. Those guys are, they do everything the right way. They're coachable. They're great teammates. They'll do anything for the team to win. But that's why they had value, right? That's why these teams wanted those guys. So that's the trick about what's happening here and what's left over. Now, what I credit the team for is how they've reacted, right? They haven't slumped. They haven't shrugged their shoulders and played uninspired. I think even in the game against Pittsburgh, they play with a lot of life, you know, a lot of spunk, and hopefully that can continue. These young guys are hungry to get a chance to play, and so we'll see where it goes. But I wish nothing but the best for Mikhail Granlund. But at the same time, I looked at that, and I think all of our eyebrows raised and say, wow, I was not sure they'd be able to get that contract off the books, and so that gives them even more flexibility for how they want to do this going forward.
Now, what do you think is you know, moving forward because of all these moves that they've made, Willie? Do you think it's just, hey, listen, guys, we're going to go out here and we're going to play as hard and as fast and physical as we possibly can? Because, I mean, them making the playoffs is a long shot, but they've made all these moves and they've gotten extremely younger. So, you know, it has to be, hey, let's just go out there and let's just play hockey and see where it goes from there.
Yeah, we were talking to John Hines about that very thing this morning, and I thought he did a really good job on Robbie and Rex Road this morning talking about the challenge. He said, look, these are the circumstances. These are not the circumstances that we necessarily choose. And he's talking about the players and coaches as they sit where they sit, right? A Roman Josi, a Philip Forsberg, you know, the guys that are still here from the core that has won a lot of games over a long time. They're not used to this, right? So how do they handle it? It can't be easy. But so far, I really like how they've been pros about it. So John Hines has been saying, look, we can't flinch. Let's stay in the fight. Let's still try to win. There's certainly, you know, the message has been sent from the top that it's not a top priority to make the playoffs. But at the same time, you know, they want to play meaningful games. If they can still be successful and keep winning some, that's only good news for guys like Luke Evangelista and Cody Glass and Tommy Novak and Phil Tomasino and Juuso Parsonen. You know, if you're just playing out the string and you're losing, who cares? I don't think that's really a true indicator of how those guys are developing. For example, I think we noted this before the game. Could Cody Glass and Tommy Novak handle a great player like Evgeny Malkin or Sidney Crosby? You know, they held their own. They did okay. You know, they didn't dominate by any chance, but they had a chance to win that game the other night. That's a good sign. And if the games are meaningful and there's intensity in those games, that's a better gauge of what you have there, as opposed to two teams that are going nowhere and there's nothing on the line. And as I've said before, you're playing some teams on this road trip that are tanking, right? So you might be able to win some games and crazy things happen. And, you know, at the end of the year, you can say, okay, this was a successful run during a really tough time.
Oh, I did see Luke Evangelista just body Evgeny Malkin.
Yeah,
he really did.
Oh, he got mad.
Like he's got a little. He's got a little something to him. That impressed me. Like I've seen Luke Evangelista, the numbers, and you know the production, the last couple years, and it's been impressive. But you know, in a moment like that, right, in an intense hockey game, you're like, wow, this guy's got a little feistiness to him. He's got a little moxie, you know, to go with the skill. That's a good sign.
Especially Malkin. I mean, he is notoriously one of the toughest, meanest guys in the league. And a young guy like Luke Evangelista just bops him in his first in his first game. Pretty impressive. But we mentioned, you know, what this team has to play for the rest of the season. You know, when the general manager basically is saying, hey, we're selling off assets. Mm-hmm. We're moving toward a new era of Predators hockey. It could be so easy for this team to just kind of throw their hands up and say, if you're waving the white flag, so are we. And it's not really what we've seen from this team. I think it gives the young guys so much to play for. They have so much more opportunity now to kind of dip their toes in the water and prove themselves. But from the veterans' point of view, the Yossis, the Forsbergs, the Ryan McDonoughs of the team, how do they interpret these moves? How do we think they feel about these moves? We'll get into that coming up next. And I see your phones on this. We'll get to those coming up next as well. Caroline, really, D-Mace, 1025, 1063, the game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025, 1063, the game, and the Game Nashville app. I want to get into where the Predators go from here. Making some big moves throughout this week, getting big-time return to build for the future. But what does the rest of the season look like for the Predators? I want to get into that, but first to your phones we go. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Adam is up next. What's up, Adam?
Hey, Caroline. So I don't really care what the veterans had to say about it. The one thing that I do wonder is why Hines hasn't been part of this yet, because I like the moves. I think we all agree he's probably out anyways. And I know that, like, I think it's Dan Lambert. Is that his name? Like, one of the bench guys that are up and coming. Why not give a guy like that a chance to coach, like, a stretch of games at the end and just see what that looks like? And also, Saros, like, has there been any, like, updated word on anybody who would want Saros?
Yeah, thanks for your call, Adam. Well, I don't really know how much say John Hines should have in these moves. I don't know how much skin on the walls that John Hines has to be able to tell David Poile, no, stop, don't make these moves. We want to hold on to this guy. And I don't know how involved he has been. Maybe he has been in lockstep with David Poile.
I don't think he has. It's pretty obvious that this is a traditional setup where, the GM is the one calling the shots. There's no question about that.
Yeah.
And so I find that John Hines is in the bunker with the players, right? In fact, I think it's him along with the guys like Philip Forsberg and Roman Josi and Ryan McDonagh, the remaining veterans, that they're saying, look, this is tough. How do we've got to make sure we do the right things here. And we say the right things to each other, to our group, to keep our group sharp and keep them playing well. And I think they've done a tremendous job doing that, because it is not easy to be in that spot, right? They all know what's going on, right? They understand why it's happening. They don't have to like it, but they can only take the set of circumstances and do the best they can under them. And I thought John Hines had some really interesting things to say about Barry Trotz today. He said, look, I'm really looking forward to working with Barry Trotz. I think Joe asked the question, do you feel like you're, playing for your job here? And John Hines' answer was, look, regardless of the general manager or a general manager change, basically you're always playing for your job, right? You're always coaching for your job. So he says that didn't really change with what happened here. But he said, I really am looking forward to Barry Trotz working with us. And he's invited Barry Trotz to come into the meetings. Be a part. Let me show you what we're doing here. Tell me what you think. And it's almost like, I think it's pretty obvious that when there's a big turnover like this, the question is going to be out there. Well, what about the coach, down the road? But I think what he's doing is trying to showcase what he does well to a guy that knows what good coaching looks like in Barry Trotz and successful coaching. And I think in time they'll make the right decision on where to go from here. But in the meantime, he's going to show everything he's done. Now, also remember that John Hines has a great background. He was with the U.S. Development Program on the way up as a young up-and-coming coach. So he has excelled before in young rosters, young players, and developing. And so that's something to probably keep your eye on, with the development of Parson and Glass and Novak so far. We'll see what happens with Tomasino and Evangelista as they get to play more here in these last 20-some-odd games. So there's a lot to watch. And that's why, Elliot had his thoughts on Saros. right? So I think his, you know, his barometer, it doesn't look like they're going to trade Saros. And, you know, I think we're all sitting there going, but this is a, this is, again, guys, like if you're Roman Josi, if you're Philip Forsberg, if you're Ryan McDonough, and they turn around and they trade UC Saros, then what are you looking at? Then you're looking at like a 4 or 5 year rebuild. And I don't know if I'd want to sign up for that if I'm those guys. Of course, it's not their call, right? It's the management's call. But I feel like there's options right now where they are with the cap space that they've picked up, with the draft assets they picked up. It doesn't have to be a 5 year rebuild, right? It can be, hey, you know, we can make some, we can package some of these picks. We can do offer sheets. We can package picks to trade for players that are on other teams that have salary cap issues. So there's a lot of options that they have right here. So I would be very careful, and that's, this is just my opinion, on trading a guy like Saros, who that's going to set you back a good long way, and it's going to be a tough road to get back. But while you have Saros, you're never that far from success. You always have a chance.
Yeah, you can't just, you know, give away or trade away, you know, one of the top goalies in the National Hockey League just because you are, in a sense, you're rebuilding. You want to retain some pieces that can help in this rebuild. Like you said, Willie, you don't want to be in a situation where you're rebuilding for the next 5 or 6 years. You get rid of your goalie, that's what you're going to be doing in hopes that your young goalie comes in and his that learning curve is short, but that's yet to be seen. We've seen him once, and he looked good, but he also looked bad as well. So he has a lot of learning to do in the minors. So if you do move off of Saros, you're talking about a 5 or 6 year rebuild. And honestly, I don't – a rebuild is good, but if you're keeping some of these veteran guys – Forsberg and Josi and guys like that, it's almost unfair to them that you go into this long rebuild. Now, there has to be a rebuild or a retool, whatever you want to call it. But if you're talking 6 years, these guys, I mean, their years are going to be wasted unless you eventually trade them away. So to me, what they've done right now and possibly moving forward, let's just talk about the season now as it is. I think this is a situation where let's say John Hines. This is an opportunity for him because he's essentially playing for his job, and we all know it. But this is an opportunity for him to make it very difficult for Trotz to make a move on him. If this team goes out and they continue to play hard and they win games, ultimately don't get in the playoffs, but they're winning games and they're playing better, maybe Trotz look at it and say, hey, listen, this is the guy I want coaching my younger guys moving forward. If it doesn't happen, then you make the change. You know,
again, that's all you could do.
Yeah.
Right? That's all you can do is fight for it, put your best foot forward every day under the circumstances. He's got 1 year left on his contract, John Hines does, and so you're fighting to try to – give yourself one more chance to start the year next year. That's all you can do. But who knows what will happen, right? But these 25 games are your hope to build a bond with Barry Trotz and you know, hopefully make a good impression to where you get a shot. That's all you can ask for. And if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen.
And there could be a possibility that it doesn't matter what John Hines does to a certain extent, that Barry Trotz might say, you know, Barry Trotz, who probably has an umbrella of coaches or a network of coaches, probably just as good, if not better, than any other coach in the league. So if Barry Trotz does say, hey, John Hines, you're a good coach, I respect what you do, I just want to bring my guy in
here. Yeah,
I
was going to
start building my team. I wouldn't blame Barry Trotz, and I wouldn't be surprised if that is the path and the avenue that Barry Trotz does decide to go down. That's no disrespect to John Hines and what he can do for the rest of the season. I think that's just how it works.
I don't think there's a wrong in this in regards to what Barry does for this reason. It's because they're already rebuilding anyway, and it's going to take some time rebuilding anyway. So whether you at the end of the season say, oh, okay, we're moving away from John Hines, or you say, well, we're going to let him play out his last year with this team that we're putting together and see how it goes. Either way, no matter if you bring in a different coach, you're not going to have a lot of success because they are rebuilding this team. If you have success, great. then that's not what you expected. But if you don't, then you say, okay, we got a long ways to go, and either, you know, we're going to do it with the coach that I named this season, meaning next season, or we're going to run it back for John Hines last season and see what happens.
And I think that success could be measured in different ways, yeah, with the way that the Predators are going down. You know, you're selling off foundational pieces and you're picking up picks. You're building for the future. So success next year in the next couple of years might not be, are you making a run in the playoffs? Mm-hmm. It could be, how much better do our young guys look?
Exactly.
Can they become the core of the future? Coming up next, we are 24 hours and 15 minutes away from the NHL trade deadline. What moves could the Predators make, if any, within the next 24 hours and 15 minutes? We'll get into that coming up next. But hey, be caller 3 right now to win a pair of tickets to go see the Doobie Brothers at First Bank Amphitheater on August 31st. You can't even buy them yet. So call in now. Be the third caller to win those tickets to see the Doobie Brothers. Good luck with that. Caroline Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game. Hours and 10 minutes away, yes, from the NHL trade deadline, and it has been wild this week. Absolutely wild. And I'm talking about the Predators, and I'm talking about the NHL as a whole. The entire Eastern Conference, basically. Any playoff team in the Eastern Conference is doing everything they can to buy up assets to compete in the playoffs. The Predators have been selling off assets, trading Nino Niederreiter on Saturday, and the David Poile news on Sunday, Tanner Jeannot news on Sunday, Mikael Granlund, Matthias Ekholm. It has been a full sell all this week, but we have 24 hours left until the trade deadline. Do we expect the Predators to make any moves within the next 24 hours? By the time we are off air tomorrow, the trade deadline will be closed. Mm-hmm. Will there be a move from now until then?
I think if you have been listening to Elliot throughout, the name that has come up probably as much or more than anybody is Dante Fabbro. I think that's an interesting one to watch. Now that Ekholm has been traded, you know, maybe there's some thought of continuing to play him. But Tyson Barrie is here as long as his equipment makes it. And I think it will. By the time the game starts tonight, they'll have Barrie in there, who, you know, is a good, solid pro. You heard some of the nice things that Elliot had to say about him from a team standpoint. So I do think Dante Fabbro, and we've talked about it, it has not as much to do with Dante Fabbro and his play on the ice, although it does, right? If Dante Fabbro, who's a first-round pick, if he had blossomed into a star, then this would be different. And they definitely have more space to work with now and more flexibility than they did a couple of weeks ago. But Dante Fabbro, probably knowing that as a restricted free agent, he's got to be qualified with a pay raise of upwards a little under $3 million per year. That's not the role he's played on this team so far. So I still think you'll hear his name dangled out there for the next day or two until the deadline, because it's still going to be tough for him to come back next year. Although, like I said, now they have much more cap space if they wanted to go down that road. So keep an eye on him. And then Kevin Lankinen is playing tonight, right? He's starting. You heard Elliot say that there's not a ton of teams looking for goalies right now, but who knows? He's in a one-year deal, so he's unrestricted at the end of the season. So if you could get something good for him, you know, like Elliot said, they're in that mode right now. So it wouldn't stun me if those were the guys. Now, what about some guys like Saros and Duchesne, the bigger contracts that are still out there? We know Josi and Forsberg have no trade clauses. I guess anything is possible, but at this point, I'd be really surprised.
I would, too, about Duchesne and Johansson, because that would really be – that'd be the big ones.
Johansson's hurt, right? I don't understand why anybody would want to trade for him now, right? Now, down the road, as he gets healthy and plays again, so I think you could take him off the board.
Yeah, but that's a fair point. But look at Duchesne then. You know, money that you want to get off, and just a player that you would probably like to unload, since they were unprotected in the expansion draft with Seattle. I would say I'd be so shocked, and I would say it's close to impossible that would happen. Just given all of the circumstances with the reasons why the Predators want to move on from Duchesne. I also would have said that about the return for Jeannot. I also would have said that about, you know, not having to retain any of the salary from Mikael Granlund and getting a second round pick in return. There have been some moves that have been made this week that I never in a million years would have expected to happen. So at this point, I'm never going to say never, but I'm still going to be very shocked if the Predators are able to deal Duchesne before tomorrow at 2 o'clock.
Yep. And so I'm kind of with you on that. And I listen closely to Elliot about Saros, because I think there are some that are going, hey, while you rip the Band-Aid off, let's just keep on going. But I do think I would put some caution up there on dealing a guy like Staros, as we talked about in the last segment. And then let's also say that there might be some other moves. Milwaukee, as you might imagine, right, has been cleaned out of a lot of the veteran players. You know, John Leonard being the latest one. He'll make his Predators debut tonight. So you got Leonard, you got Zach Sanford, you got Mark Jankowski. You know, guys like that who have played, Kiefer Sherwood, those guys have played a lot of games in Milwaukee. So you got to replace those guys. So there might be a couple other moves to replenish the Milwaukee system. And so, you know, I think there'll be a lot of things. And then the other question you guys asked, what about around the league? Most of the big fish have been dealt, but you still got a day to go before the deadline. Are there any more surprises that happen between now and then? We'll see. But it has been very, very interesting to watch around the league the last week to 10 days.
24 hours and 5 minutes. Gird your loins. NHL trade deadline at 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. We'll have all of your updates tomorrow. Predators in action tonight. Puck drop at 6 o'clock. Hal Gill and Max Herz will have the call on 102.5 The Game. Pre-game show starts at 5 o'clock. Stillman & Company's up next. We'll be back tomorrow at 11 a.m.
Peace.